to God bless his holy name, for truly he is worthy of all of the honor and all of the praise. We want to thank you and welcome you once again to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders International. Every fourth Friday night, we have the Elder Melvin Peeples from Mending's God People Ministry out of Gary, Indiana. And we are certainly delighted and excited about the Word of God that he's going to bring forth tonight. We want to thank all our listeners for tuning in via internet, whether you're calling in on the line 661-449-9911. We are encouraged tonight, for truly God has given us another day to be a blessing to someone else. We want you to get your pens, get your Bibles, get ready, because truly the feast of the Lord is going on, and we are excited tonight. This is Prophetess Teresa, and I am standing in for Evangelist Hannah tonight, and I'm excited about it. And I see our listeners are coming in, and welcome, welcome, welcome. And I want to thank Elder Peeples. I see that you're on with us tonight, and I'm excited about that awesome word that God has given you in your belly. Yes, thank God for the man of God, and we thank God for the Word of God. And every time it came forth, fire, fire, fresh fire, it came out of his mouth from on high. But we're excited, and we're going to just whisper a word of prayer over the man of God before he gets started. Lord, we thank you for whom you've given to your people, Elder Melvin Peeples of Mending God's People Ministry. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for his life, Lord God. And we thank you, Father God, that you are going to use him tonight like never before. We cover him with the blood of Jesus. And Father God, as he go forth in your ministry, ministering to your people, Lord God, keep your angels around him afresh. Father, let his mouth be the oracles of God. And we thank you, Lord God, for what he is going to do in your stead. In Jesus' matchless mighty name we pray. And we say, amen, amen. Well, Elder Peeples, we yield the line to you and truly allow God to have his way. God bless you.
Thank you, Prophetess Teresa. God bless you, and also to Evangelist Hannah in her absence. We're grateful tonight once again to be able to come and to share in the word of the Lord. As always, I say it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed, because his compassions fail not, and they are renewed each morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And without any delay, we're going to get into the word of the Lord, cherishing every moment that God has given us with this most gracious opportunity. Tonight, we're going to be reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter number 55. For many of us, they're very familiar passages of Scripture, verses number 8 and 9. And the prophet says, from the Lord, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We're going to use tonight for a topic or a subject, as you choose to call it, the theological reconciliation of God's love in the face of chastening. Now, the word theology or theological is just a combination of two words. For those who are not quite familiar with it, it's just simply two Greek words. The word theo comes from the Greek word. It is a Greek word for God. And the word logos, of course, is a Greek word for word. So it's the theological reconciliation. And to, when to reconcile something, it means to make ideas and accounts consistent. So we're talking about the theology of God, and, of course, with religious doctrines, we talk about theology. Recently, some of you may remember, several months ago, we experienced a great tragedy and a lot of devastation in the Midwestern part of the United States in regard to tornadoes. These tornadoes wreaked some havoc and devastation, and in some cases, death upon the lives of many people. The lives of people rich and poor were forever changed because of these events. And there is a question which perpetually lingers around the painful and tragic occasions of life in our human experience. And as I sat and watched the news accounts of the tornadoes and the events unfold, I asked the question, Lord, how can we get the message across to people who have suffered such a great chastisement and loss that you still love them? They need to be able to believe that God loved them in spite of the circumstances that they experience. And it's important that we understand that those of us who have a covenant relationship, we also have to work hard to theologically reconcile the love of God in the face of chastening. The faith of many children of God has been derailed because of some erroneous misconceptions concerning the parameters or the limits of personal suffering and chastisement which God will bring to the lives of his children. In some Christian circles, chastening, that is, suffering, tragedy, untimely death, poverty, and things of that nature are considered as indicators of some type of spiritual depravity. And some would even say it's the consequences of a sinful lifestyle or even a lack of faith. But and it's important that we understand, brothers and sisters, that we are in a theological climate right now in which many brothers and sisters have been made to believe that God is some type of supernatural genie. And his only purpose is to bring comfort to us. But the reality is that we are servants of God, and whatsoever he determines for our lives is what we will experience. The Lord says to the prophet Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Sometimes even divinely inspired expressions are limited in their ability to make us comprehend the great difference between the mind and the ways of God and the mind and the ways of mankind. And so the prophet says, just as sure as the heavens are higher than the earth, and the Lord says, my ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, we must understand that unlike man, God has no limits of time, space, power, wisdom, knowledge, or resources. He is an omniscient God. That is, he's all-knowing. The scripture says he knows our thoughts afar off. He is an omnipotent God. That is, he has all power in the universe in his hands. And he is also an omniscient God. He inhabits all space in the universe. Actually, the universe is actually too small for God. The universe, if I can be somewhat comical, is like trying to put God as an elephant into a phone booth. He's just too big. Praise the Lord. But we must understand that the reality is that the essence of God is that God really loves us. Amen. It's who he is. It's what he is. Everything that God is rooted in an incomprehensible love, a love beyond what we as humans can even esteem to be love. The scriptures say that God is love. Well, John said, praise the Lord, beloved, let us love one another, for God is of love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he that does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. No matter what we experience or what we believe, God has performed the ultimate act of love. Praise the Lord. And that ultimate act of love was when he robed himself in humanity and his sonship and sent his Son, Jesus, as the propitiation for our sins. And the benefits of that occasion actually transcends all of the temporal benefits of this world. And it benefits us not just now, but in the world to come. When you talk about the appropriation of love through the sonship and the sacrifice of Christ, it means to have power to atone. It also means to reconcile or to appease. Jesus as a sacrifice satisfied the Father's righteous indignation for the sins of humanity, allowing us to go free. Praise the Lord. And as, of course, in the Greek words, there's two traditional words that associate the love of God. That is philo, which is brotherly love, or a familial or family type love, and agape, which is a supreme love and an unconditional love. Praise the Lord. And so now that we have established that God is love, we must revise our humanistic concepts of love to parallel the dimensions of God's love in relation to his omnipotence, as I said earlier, his omniscience, and his omnipresence. Praise the Lord. We have to theologically have a reconciliation of God's love in the face of chastening. Some of the modern theories and erroneous ideas concerning God is that God is only concerned about our comfort. Praise the Lord. And many Christian teachers suggest that when you go, when you're going through something, amen, that your life is a reflection of personal sins. And these are some of the myths that are being taught. Praise the Lord. Some teach that because we are under the blood and because we have the righteousness of God imputed unto us, we are spared chastisement and calamities because of Christ. Jesus, praise the Lord, made a statement that he said, I give to them eternal life. He said, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And he says, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No amount of chastisement or suffering will dislodge us from the care and the love of God in Christ Jesus. But it's very important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that this is a life of trial and tribulation and a life of suffering. Praise the Lord. And I think that in our American Christianity, to some extent, we have lost focus on what it really means to be a child of God. Brother Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which has come to try you, though some strange things happen to you. He says, don't think that it's out of character. Praise the Lord. The chastisement that God will allow to come our way. There are many contemporary theologians who believe that suffering chastisement, amen, is unpredictable and unavoidable. Surely we can't do nothing to avoid it, and certainly we can at least, by the grace of God, attempt to make something of it. Amen. We must disagree with the idea that God does not want us to suffer. He does allow us to suffer. No chastisement comes our way but that which God has purposed for our good and for his glory. God may not cause all things to happen, but he does cause all things to work together for our good. Those who are the loved of God and those who are the called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. So we should never view chastisement amen, as senseless or random, because it is a part of God's plan. Hallelujah. It's important that we understand, amen, that we must theologically reconcile, amen, God's love in the face of chastening. When you're going through, when you're suffering, when you're living and you're being buffeted and you're without and you're suffering from the outside and you're suffering from the inside, are we able to reconcile the fact that the Father still loves me? Hallelujah. It makes me think about St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Amen. Paul on an occasion found himself needing to glory about an experience that he had had. He talked about how it was not expedient for him to glory, but because he said, I'll come to visions and revelations. This man had sat on an experience he had had with God for 14 years. And for 14 years he didn't speak of it. But all of a sudden he was pressed because of some things that he witnessed in Corinth that he needed to make it known to brothers. Amen. That he said, I once knew a man about 14 years ago. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, which was paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Amen. Paul went through several layers of the heavens to enter into the heavens of heavens, which was the throne of God. Amen. And he said, though I desire the glory, I won't be a fool, for I will say the truth. He said, but now I forbear lest any should think of me above that which he seeth me or heareth of me. And because he had had this great experience of exaltation to up into the presence of God, and God looked upon his heart, and God knows us afar off, and he knows our thoughts afar off, he knows our uprising and our down sitting. God saw fit to afflict this great man of God. Amen. And Paul himself says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And when he sought the Lord concerning this three times, the Lord spoke to him and let him know, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't have the deep spiritual revelation or the deep spiritual experience with God until he causes us to be afflicted. And we do not want to allow Satan to rob us of our great opportunity. Paul says, I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. Often God will balance your suffering in proportion to your gifting. Let me say that again. Often God will balance your suffering in proportion to your gifting. As one preacher said, I heard some years ago, those he proves the most, he used the most. And this man of God recognized, amen, the need to reconcile his theology, to understand that when Christ allows us to suffer, it is because he loves us and we are his children. So Paul went on to say, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. What are infirmities? Weaknesses. He said, I take pleasure in reproaches, which are insults. I take pleasure in disaster. I take pleasure in persecution. I take pleasure, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It sounds like a contradiction of terms. Amen. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And when I am weak, then am I strong. There's no good reason that suffering and chastising should catch a Christian unaware. Praise the Lord. Why are some of us surprised when suffering comes our way? One of the reasons is the widespread preaching of a distorted gospel in which Christ is presented as the key to earthly bliss and the solution to all of our problems. Yes, he is. But his answer is not always the desired answer. It makes me think about Brother John the Baptist. Amen, as he sat in a jail a few days before his execution. John was wondering if Jesus was the one or should he look for another. Contemporary minds would believe that Jesus is going to come and deliver John out of jail. But Jesus said, go and tell John what you see. The blinded eyes are being opened. People are being healed. And the things that project the power of God will manifest through Christ. But he did not deliver John. He did not get bail money together. He did not send the apostles with a bag of gold or silver to remove him from his incarceration. But he allowed him to be martyred. Hallelujah. We must reconcile, brothers and sisters, our theology to be able to embrace the face of God in the time of chastening. We must realize that just as we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin of unbelief, which does so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. God writes the story and he orchestrates the details of your life. Praise the Lord, as well as for the collective body of Christ. And he himself endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame. And now he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise the Lord. If there's no humiliation, there'll be no exaltation. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. We must understand that we cannot despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of him. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, hallelujah, he chastens. Ain't that a wonderful statement of contradiction? Many times we've been taught and we've been exposed to doctrines that whom God loves, he gives them everything they ask for. Whom God loves, he allows no trial or tribulation to overtake them. Whom God loves, amen, he protects them from their enemies. But he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourges every son whom he receives. That word scourge, that scourge was a Roman implement, praise the Lord. It was an apparatus that consisted of a handle, and it had several cords, and it had leather thongs that were fixed to it, and it had jagged pieces of bone or metal to make the blow more painful and effective. It would literally tear the flesh. And the apostle chooses to use this language to let us know the hard trials and the tribulation that we sometimes face as we walk with God. Many have gotten it backwards. They look upon brothers and sisters who are struggling. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They're sick in their bodies. People are turning against them, and they're saying, something's wrong with you. Praise the Lord. You must be living in sin. According to this apostle, if you're not being chastened, he said, if you be without chastisement, where we are all partakers, he said, then are you bastards and not sons. That's the apostle's words, not mine. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say that we had fathers after the flesh, we corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? For truly they chastened us after their own pleasure. Praise the Lord. Some of us had fathers that would give us a little whipping for everything. Sometimes they just gave you a whipping because they felt like it. They chastened us after their own pleasure. But he chastens us, Christ chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now understand this, brothers and sisters. no chastening for the present moment seems to be joyous, but it's grievous. But afterwards, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which I exercise thereby. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Who's out there going through something, praise the Lord? Who's struggling? Who's having a hard time, amen, walking with the Lord? And you don't understand why God is allowing it to happen. You don't know why. Everywhere you turn, you seem to be between a rock and a hard place. Because God is the author and the finisher of your faith. And he chastens us and he chastises us to build us up in our most holy faith. Praise the Lord. That word chastening, I might throw this in, comes from a Greek word, padeo. And that particular word and two other words, what they do collectively, they give us a very, very broad picture of the divine concept of chastening. The word padeo, now, if you translate it into English, then this is beautiful. One of the words is pediatrician. And the other word is pedagogue. And they are closely allied with the word padeo. Praise the Lord. Now, we're all familiar with the pediatrician. The pediatrician is the child specialist. He cares for the body of the child. In the pedagogue, we see the one who trains the mind of the child. When you conjoin these two functions together, this is beautiful. Chastening is really child training. Our Heavenly Father is our divine pediatrician. He is our divine pedagogue, and chastening may be viewed in at least four different ways. If you're taking notes, you might want to write it down. There's four different aspects to chastening. There's four different reasons for chastening. We are chastened sometimes from a punitive perspective. That is corrective. Sometimes God is trying to correct us in a direction or in a way that we are going. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction driveth it far from him. Sometimes chastening is punitive. Punitive chastening comes to help a saint and understand and experience where a certain course of action has taken them. Praise the Lord. And God sends it to us many times to learn the error of our ways. King David got in trouble on one occasion, and he wrote in the 39th Psalm, he said, Lord, remove thy stroke away from me. He said, I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. He said, when thou dost rebuke and correct a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Sometimes it gets real ugly when God has given us a punitive or a corrective chastening. Praise the Lord. So one, number one is punitive or corrective chastening. Number two is preventative. Sometimes God is trying to keep us from a course of action. Now, we read that just a few moments ago when we talked about St. Paul. Paul's thorn was really a preventative chastening. Notice what he said after God put the thorn in his flesh. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation that was given unto me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He had the propensity and the potential to go contrary, so God put the affliction on him as a preventative method of correction. Hallelujah. Thirdly, there is also provocative. Sometimes God is trying to provoke us. Amen. He's trying to draw us closer to him and to make our heart tender. Think about Jonah. Jonah was sent to prophesy down in Nineveh. familiar with the story, Jonah chose to go in another direction. Praise the Lord. And what God did was, after God got through shaking Jonah up in the belly of the fish, Jonah got up and went on about his father's business. So that was provocative chastening. He wanted to cause a certain action to take place in this man's life. And many times God will do that to us. Sometimes God has spoken to us by the Holy Spirit. He's given us instruction. He sent people to us to talk to us about certain things, and we would not move. So now God says, I must provoke him. I must provoke her. Praise the Lord. Number four, extreme chastening. This is not very popular, brothers and sisters. But Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It is actually that sin unto death which the Apostle John wrote, and it became the bitter experience of some in the church of Corinth. Praise the Lord. Now that, let me make something perfectly clear. If there is a sin unto death, and you have a born-again child of God, that does not suggest that that child of God is separated permanently and eternally from God. Think about Moses, praise the Lord. When Moses was taking the children of Israel through the promised land, and the people were thirsty for water, and they began to murmur and complain at Moses, and God spoke to Moses and told him to speak to the rock. But Moses struck the rock, and God was not pleased with him because he failed to sanctify God in the presence of the people. Moses did not go into the promised land, but Moses was not eternally separated from God. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, and he had Peter and John along with him, the Bible says Elijah came and Moses came to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they communicated with Jesus. He was safe and secure in the bosom of Jesus. But because of his disobedience, it cost him, praise the Lord, to experience a sin unto death. Hallelujah. Remember, brothers and sisters, we are sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is it that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? But God does deal with our disobedience, and sometimes in a very extreme way. Praise the Lord. And I'm not on probation in Jesus. Hallelujah. When he gave you the Holy Spirit, he sealed you until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so what am I saying? Sometimes, amen, we can sow blemish the testimony of Christ. That the Lord has to take extreme measures. That's why we must examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Hallelujah. Do a self-examination. God does not want us to be prematurely removed from this earth. He has a plan for us. But at the same time, we have to be careful how we look at certain things. We can't pass our judgment upon the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said himself that if the salt is good, it's okay. But if it's lost its saltiness or its savor, it's of no use. Praise the Lord. And Jesus spoke to the church in the book of Revelation chapter 2. He told them to repent and to do their first works over. He said, else I come unto thee quickly, and I will remove your candlestick out of this place, except you repent. The removal of a candlestick was not an eternal damnation. Hallelujah. Very important, brothers and sisters, that we understand. All right, now there are seven reasons. I hope you're taking notes tonight. Seven reasons for divine chastening. Seven is always a good number. Seven is a completion number. Seven churches in Asia Minor. 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 dispensations, etc. But there's seven reasons why God brings divine chastening upon us. He does it to teach obedience. The psalmist said, I went astray in Psalms 119, 67. He said, but now have I kept thy word. He said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Can we say thank you, Jesus, for the times that he corrects us and that he chastens us? Praise the Lord, because we learn his ways. We learn his statutes. Hallelujah. To teach obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and the hearken than the fat of the ram. Obedience unto God. Not so much obedience to the traditions and the ways of men that are not founded in Christ, but obedience to God. Let us search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. He also chastens us to give us spiritual depth. Praise the Lord. He wants to give us a deeper understanding. Job did not understand. Praise the Lord. There was no scriptural evidence that Job could understand or was aware that he was the subject, amen, of a competition between God and Satan behind the scenes. Job didn't know that. Job didn't know that he was proud in some ways and arrogant in some ways. Yes, he was a father to the fathers. Yes, he had a name better than all the men of the East. Yes. Job was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Yes, but he still had to be able to reconcile the love of God in the face of chastening. And sometimes we can be hit with so much, brothers and sisters, we can even question our relationship with God, and the devil will whisper in our ears because he knows that we are sometimes ignorant and not cognizant of the truth concerning what suffering is really about. God is trying to give us spiritual depth. Job said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eye sees you. And notice what happens here. He says, therefore I abhor, that is, I hate myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Spiritual depth will cause you to fall out of love with yourself. I'm not saying we necessarily need to hate ourselves in a harsh sense. But spiritual depth will make you understand that you're not the stuff. You're not the it that everybody around you that is stroking your ego make you believe. Spiritual depth will cause you to look at Jesus and fall on your face. And everyone that was sincere in the presence of Christ did just that. Even this prophet Isaiah, when we started this lesson with, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. God wants to bring us spiritual depth. Job said, I'd heard by the hearing of the ear. Job had heard some theology, and sometimes that's what we get. We get theology stuck in our ears. We heard by the hearing of the ear, but when your heart and your spiritual eyes see him, then you abhor yourself. And Job repented in dust and ashes. He was a much better man. And sometimes God brings us to this place that we might be able to get some more spiritual depth. Brothers and sisters, you can't read up on spiritual depth. You can't just read the Bible and get spiritual depth. That's an experience. Hallelujah. Number three, he gives it to us to produce humility. Praise the Lord. God wants to produce humility. Humility is something that is totally contrary to the fallen Adamic nature. Think about when Adam fell and Eve fell in the garden. They had had this great harmonious relationship with God. No interference from evil or any other type of thing that kept them from a open and even fellowship with God. But as soon as the devil got a part in their experience, humility was gone out of the way. When the Lord said, Adam, where are you? Adam could have said, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I failed you. I've fallen short. Because his conscience made him know something was wrong because he hid himself. But you know what Adam did? He blamed God and the woman in the same verse. He said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me, and I did eat. He never took responsibility. And God sometimes has to force humility upon us. Job would never have seen himself had he not had that experience. The devil may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Hallelujah. God also chastens us that we might experience comfort. Think about what the apostle said. He said, blessed be the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. You have some hope tonight, brothers and sisters, because no matter what God chastens you with, he will comfort you in all of your tribulation, so that you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That is a powerful truth. He's saying that God will give you tribulation so that you can be able to comfort somebody else in their tribulation by the comfort wherewith you were comforted with. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that was number five. Number six, God wants to test our faith. Praise the Lord. He wants to test our faith. Faith is important to God. That's why when you read what we call that Faith Hall of Fame, you'll see names like Samson and Rahab right along in there with Moses and Abraham. Now, we consider Samson and Rahab to be, well, Rahab was a harlot, of course, and Samson had failed on one occasion, but God still honored faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God honors faith. Many times people, we're striving to be perfect in our own right, in our own self-righteousness, but God says, show me some faith. Hallelujah. Faith is important. Number seven, to vindicate God. The purpose of divine chastening is mysterious, brothers and sisters. We don't always know what God is doing. He says to us, and the Lord spoke to Peter, and he said, what I'm doing now, you don't know. But you shall know hereafter. Sometimes the purpose won't be revealed until the day of redemption when the books are opened. Hallelujah. Seven reasons for divine chastening: to teach obedience, number one, to teach spiritual depth, to produce humility, to increase patience, to experience comfort, to test faith, and to vindicate God. It is so very important, brothers and sisters, that we be able to theologically reconcile God's love in the face of chastening. Don't ever let the devil make you believe that God does not love you, brothers and sisters. Amen. He tells us, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's what God told the children of Israel as they were a few days away from Babylonian captivity. He was about to send them down into captivity. He said, yeah, but I love you with an everlasting love. God may turn the devil loose in your life. He may turn the devil loose in your home. He may allow him to afflict your body. Job had sore boils.
nails from the top of his head to the sole of his feet to the point where he had to scratch them. Amen. He may turn your loved ones against you. He may allow you to fall into poverty, into debt. You may lose this. You may lose that. But you better be sure you're able to reconcile your theology. That God loves you in the face of chastening. He's never going to leave you. If there's any consolation, no matter what you go through, he's never going to leave you. If you make your bed in hell, he said, I'll be there. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus, thank God, is our great high priest. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, constantly interceding for us according to the will of God. And whenever you go to him, hallelujah. And it doesn't make any difference what you take to him. Some brothers and sisters are afraid to approach God with their sins. Oh, they're so hurt, they're heartbroken. But don't let the devil trick you. There's nothing that God can't handle. Amen. When you come to him, lay it upon the altar. Hallelujah. And receive the reconciliation of his love and experience the chasing and the trial and the tribulation or whatever he allows you to experience. But know this. That he loves you. He loves you more than you will ever know. He loves you more than you can ever measure. What is the height? What is the depth? What is the breadth? What is the width of God's love? Hallelujah. So much so that he loved this world. That he gave his only begotten son for murderers and scoundrels and thieves and hookers and prostitutes and liars and drug dealers. There's no one that can feel as though they don't have a privilege to approach Christ. And we who have already been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption, we have a great high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he was tempted in all points, just like we were, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Lord, I'm starving and I'm hungry. And as a great high priest, Jesus can say, I was hungry too, my daughter, my child, my son. Somebody said, Lord, they're talking about me. They're tearing me down. They're lying on me. And Jesus can say, they did that to me, my son, my daughter. And in some places right now, even as I speak, there are those who are actually suffering physical pain and affliction because of their conviction and their faith in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we don't ever want to get so separated in our mind to understand that there are believers in this world who are being martyred on a daily basis. And they're giving their lives. They're dying. And I'm sure that many of them on their deathbeds had to theologically reconcile God's love in the face of their chastening. They had to make sense out of it. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But we've got to know that Jesus loves us. He loves us more than we will ever know. Brothers, we've talked tonight, and sisters, about the theological reconciliation of God's love in the face of chastening. I hope and pray that God has blessed you tonight as much as I've enjoyed delivering this message. God bless you. I love you much.
Jesus, 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 my God. I felt like I was at service, and I wanted to bring you some juice, elder people.
Thank you, sis.
God bless you, man. God, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. My God, my God, my God. The chastening. As the man of God went forth, you know, I heard the Lord say the chastening. It confirms our sonship.
Yes.
And if we endure the chastening, A lot of times we want to complain. We just can't be content. But if we endure the chastening, as God deal with you as a son.
Yes.
Jesus. Because without chastening, the word of God says that ye may be bastards and not sons. Turn to Hebrews 12 chapter, 7th verse, and it'll talk about it. And of course, we know Hebrew address the children of God. So chastening is mark of sonship. So as elder people were saying, embrace it. Embrace the chastening. Because it marks our sonship. Ooh, what a powerful word. If you felt tired, if you felt like you couldn't go through, if you felt like it's always this and it's always that, and you know what? When God allows us to be chastened, a lot of times he'll make it so no one there in the natural can be there for you.
Amen.
So you can get dealt with, so we can get dealt with, so I can get dealt with to bring forth the fruit of chastening. And the man of God talked about it. Humility. Jesus. Obedience. Jesus. Patience. I took notes because that word of God, that word that came from the heavens for God people, and it's not milk. If you're looking for milk tonight, I'm sorry, but it was meat. And the Bible says those that can eat the meat, God call you righteous. Walk in righteousness by eating up that meat and embracing what God says about chastening. My God. And we will experience love. I can go on and on, but I'm not. The lines are filled up. And if you want to have a comment, I want to encourage you to press 1 on your phone. If you're on the telephone, I do have the chat line open on the Internet. So if you have any comments, are those that's on the Internet, prayer requests, testimonies, or just a comment. I want to encourage you to just press 1 on your phone. That word, I got out of my seat and I missed 5. So I said, well, okay, I'm going to go back into the archive because that was a good word. So I'm about to open the lines up. And I just encourage you to, if you have any comments, I'm going to open it up for 7772 is the last 4 digits of your number. If you're open now, if you want to have comments.
Glory be to God this evening, woman of God. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
God bless you all. Good evening, Ms. Tammy Weatherspoon. I'm a member of Living Word Christian Center here in Cary, Indiana. Elder peoples, I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank God for you.
Thank you,
and
sir.
I'd like to thank him for allowing God to use you to bring the word of God unto us tonight. All I can say is really I thank God because he showed me and he told me tonight again through you, elder people, that he loves you.
Thank you.
That's what I keep hearing and feeling in my spirit right now. He loves me.
Cool.
That he loves me because he chases me. Because he chastises me. And tonight you bring in the word and teaching me. Tonight it humbled me to go through the chastening without panicking. To go through the chastening without falling. To go through the chastening with confidence. With my head held up just by knowing my Father loves me. Because he's taking me through. He's allowing me to go through this chastening. I'm not a bastard child. I'm not a bastard child. I have a Heavenly Father who loves me so much. He's not going to sit back and watch me fall. He's in fall and not help me. He is there for me at all times. He loves me so much in my chastening. He never leaves me inside of my chastening. And it feels so good, Elder Peoples, because this is where I'm at in my life today. Man of God, this is where I'm at this very moment in the chastening, in the chastising. This is where I'm at in my life, and I needed to hear this word tonight so I can go through it the rest of the night and tomorrow and in the days after and endure in humility with the confidence that my Father loves me, that everything will be all right. He's going to bring me in, through, and out.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Graciously in love.
Yes.
I'm going to be all right. I am all right. I am all right. The world's way is not fine for me. I'm not supposed to be okay with the world's way of doing things. It's supposed to be uncomfortable for me inside of my chastisement. But my God, hallelujah, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to learn tonight that I can go through it with humility because you love me, Father, because you love me. And it's like I can almost embrace and feel him wrapping his arms around me. Hallelujah. I just thank you, Elder Peoples, for allowing God to use you, woman of God. I thank you for having the line open, for allowing God to use you again and again and having these lines open, bringing life unto us, bringing life unto God's people. Thank you, Kingdom Builders. Thank you, Elder Peoples, again.
God bless you, sister. Thank you very much.
God bless you. God bless you, Sister Tammy. God bless you.
Thank you.
Opening up the lines, Evangelist Hannah, I see you on the board. Would you like to have comments since you're here with us? Amen. Amen. I'm sure that line is muted out on her phone. Praise God. Is there anyone else that would like to have comments? Amen. Well, we just bless God for who he is in our life, how he knows exactly what we need, how he provides what we need to keep us balanced. Can't always get what we want. And it's not that he don't have what we want, but God want to get us prepared to handle the things that he has in store for us. I am just truly, I could hear some more of that, Elder Peoples, but I know you're done.
Thank you, sis.
God bless you,
you
so much. God bless you so much.
God bless you.
Amen. Yes, we certainly appreciate you, Elder Peoples. We want to thank you once again for just being faithful to the assignment. And we pray God's blessing over you and the ministry and everything that you touch.
Thank you.
We thank God for just blessing you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. But truly, God is moving by his spirit. When he sent a word like that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But I just bless God once again. And I just want to say to the listeners on the line, whether you're on the phone lines or the internet, and even we have some that's on Skype. Okay, is that someone trying to get in? I don't know. Let me just check. Okay, the lines are open. Is there someone trying to say something?
Prophet Teresa?
Yes. Hello? Yes, Evangelist?
Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Elder Peoples, I really enjoy the message tonight. And I know
thank you, Evangelist. God bless
it
you.
It is so true. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And we just have to stand and praise him, and when he's chasing us and chastising us, we just got to stand still, knowing that whatever he do it for our good, and it all works together.
Thank you.
So I just praise God because I know how many things that I have walked through. And I know that God loved me, and I had to praise my way through. Sister Tammy, continue to praise your way through and keep your focus on the Lord because he do love you.
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yes, God. Yes,
from
God.
The beginning of my, as I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I couldn't walk no more. I had to wear gym shoes to work in the church. In so much pain, not understanding. But I had to trust him, knowing that fall in love with him so I could stand and take it. Because he was chastising me, glory to God. And that was 14 years ago. So I got a whole book to tell.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God loves you. God loves me. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So I just thank God for that word. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it too, prophetess.
Yes.
And put my headset on and just let it blast in my ear.
Yes.
to just build me up and encourage me even more and more as I go through. Because he said, you ain't going to be going through the valleys of the shadow of death. And I will continue to praise him. Glory to God.
Yes,
God. Jesus. He's truly worthy. He's truly worthy. I just wanted to say something and bless you, man of God. And
thank
you and love you for your faithfulness.
Thank you.
And as Prophet Teresa said last month, we're going to have to touch bases with you. We need to just see you behind the pulpit ministering to us and some old folks.
Yes.
Be more than glad.
We're working on it.
With that fire.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
First time up, I'll see you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Truly you worthy, God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If there's listeners on the line that I know that have been through some chastening, and I know they did not understand why. And I just want to encourage you. You know, you're quiet, and I know you've been fed. I know you've been fed, but I just want to encourage you that when you go through that chastening, go back on Blog Talk, www.blogtalk.com/Kingdom Builders International, and type in Elder Melvin People, and you'll be able to listen to that broadcast again. Every time you get ready to go through, keep listening to it. So it just get in your spirit and embrace it. Embrace it. Failure is not an option.
Yes.
It's not an option.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we're not going to keep the elder on the line too much longer, but is there anyone that would like prayer? It's a Friday night, and can you think about what you used to do on a Friday night? So we're on the line, and we're available. If you want prayer, you got a testimony, we just encourage you to take advantage of what God has prepared for you. Amen. Yes, God. Amen. Well, let me just mute out these lines if it's, amen. We hear some background sound, but let me get that out the way. But we just bless God again. Evangelist Hannah, do you mind doing, are you in a place that you can do the salvation call?
Yes, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We just love you, God. If you have not called on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The word of God says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you're going through and you heard what the man of God is saying, and you think God don't love you, he do love you. He loves you. He sent the word tonight to let you know that. Glory to God. But as you go through and you are being chastened, with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go through in joy, in peace, and in the strength of God. Glory be to God. And whatever you're going through, you can't do it on your own if you have not called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm a witness to that. And all you have to do is say, Father, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I have sinned, God. By faith, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. I'm tired. Come into my heart and change me. Help me. You are confessing with your mouth. Glory be to God, and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again. It's all by faith. And if you say that prayer after me, welcome into the body of Christ. The angels are rejoicing. We are rejoicing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For all the internet listeners that has called on the Lord, or either you're on the phone lines, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters1.org and let us know. We'd love to send you a Bible, or we would love to send you an MP3 audio Bible. Glory be to God. We would love to stand in your faith fight with you. You can leave your prayer requests. We will respond, because that's what this is all about. It's about your soul. It's about souls coming to the body of Christ, not about us. Glory to God. We love you, and most of all, God loves you. You. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Well, once again, we just excited, and we thank you for tuning in. We thank Elder Peoples for just pouring out of himself for people, for the people of God. And as Evangelist was saying, Jesus died for our sin, but he rose for our salvation.
Yes.
So we want to encourage you to embrace the kingdom, embrace the things of God. It's time. It's time for a change. It's time for a closer walk. It's time to be one with the Father in spirit, in spirit. So we're doing these lines so that the people of God can be built up in the things of God. And I'm truly blessed every time you come on, Elder People. And I can't thank you enough. And as Evangelist Hannah was saying, we are working on one of these first Saturdays, getting you over at the Living Way Christian Center.
Be more than,
have
more
you,
than glad.
You know, work for. Yes. And so we're looking at the calendar. Yes. So we just praise God for that. And we're truly excited. And we're going to give you a call so we can kind of confirm some things. But God bless you.
All
and
right.
We love you. And
God bless you,
nothing that, thank you. God bless you. And I just want to tell all the listeners, stay with God.
Yes.
Stay with God no matter what chastening you go through. Stay with the Lord. Enjoy the rest of your night. And tell somebody about the food that you ate tonight. Tell somebody. Call somebody up and tell them about chastening. Tell them about the word tonight. God bless you all. We love you. Until we meet again tomorrow night, I'll be on myself Saturday with the Word every Saturday at 7 p.m. Same place, different time, but same place, 661-449-9911. And then www.blogtalkradio.com/kingdombuilders. So you can meet us again tomorrow night. Until then, may the peace of God keep you. May the love of God overshadow you. And may the blood of God, blood of Jesus, shadow from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. God bless you and have a wonderful night, everyone.
God bless you.
God bless you, other people.
God bless you, my sister and sister Evangelist Hannah. I love you much, and thank you very much.
Amen. Is there anything else you want to say, Elder Peoples, before we hang up?
No, I just greatly appreciate the opportunity. I really look forward to an opportunity to share when the opportunity presents itself, and I'm just grateful to God that the word is getting out. That's the most important thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, God bless you, Elder. We will be giving you a call.
All right, sis. Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good evening.
Good evening to you, too. Okay, good night.